Good morning, everybody. As you and I heard several times, there's more power of witness from well-trained, orderly family than the preaching. So probably today we witness one of those events, and I really pray that this restored family will continue to spread the love of God through the family ministry. Today, my topic is proof of pudding is in the what? In the eating. And it's good for food. And this is my sixth series of the health and biblical talk. And because of my work schedule, it's very challenging, but because of God's grace, I'm standing here today too. And hopefully we can have our understanding of the New Start in a more firmly ground in the Bible, because Bible is the only thing that we can defend our faith. And Bible is the only means that we can understanding God's way of how we live in this life. And we know His way is always right. I share my personal story. Last Sabbath, we heard about Northwest Veggie group are coming to our church on Sunday. And so I went there Sunday out of my busy schedule. That group, they are coming to our church not to worship with us, but they needed a place where they have their bi-monthly meeting together. And this group is a as I shared, Northwest Vegan Society. And I have been attending that meeting about last three times. And they've been coming to our church because our church was gracious enough for them to come and use our facility without charging them. And what a great deal for them, right? So they're coming to this church. And this has been going on many years. And I wasn't, and I pray to God, God, please forgive me. Why? Because there are some people, whatever reason they might have, they're coming to the church and they don't hear the message that we have. Because Northwest Vegetarian, not really vegetarian, it's a vegan society. They have a very common understanding in terms of what we eat, right? And so I realized that this is a good, not outreach program, this is actually enrich program, because they're voluntarily coming to this church. So why our church members are more involved? So actually, last Sunday, we have a couple our church members to mingle with them. And so what I did was I actually asked them to give me a short introduction and welcoming before they start their program. And so I actually gave a couple minutes of talk each time, and I welcomed them, and I really appreciate their using our facility. And they're very clean. There's no messy. And so, and also they have their own donation box where they give some donation in appreciation of our church that we are giving them free facility. So it's a really win-win situation in a way, right? So last Sunday, I actually mentioned to them that most of them are secular, some probably Christian, but a lot of them are actually decide to become vegan on the basis of their opinion against violence to animal and animal suffering. And so, which is in a way in line with the biblical idea, even though that is not the main reason why I become a vegan. But I said to them, ask some question, what is the history of the veganism, or they call it, vegan lifestyle in human history? And I didn't expect that they can understand this, so I just give the answer in my research. And usually it's predominantly like in the Greek society, long time, even before Christ came. And actually, in terms of going a little bit further, a couple hundred years back from Greek, actually started with India, with Buddhism and Jainism. And since I'm, as I mentioned, I'm familiar with a little bit Buddhism, because one of the things I really learned to become a vegetarian was in the temple where I was staying for 6 months way back in Korea. So when I become Adventist, I didn't have much problem myself, even though it was such a stress to my family at the time. The reason I'm saying my family, because I might expect my brother, who is in California, watching my speech. And he was my younger brother. But actually, I was a somewhat troublemaker, because all of us are eating everything. And suddenly I said, I'm sorry, I cannot eat this. And that is really stress, like from the provider, like my mother. You probably understand that. I don't know you. So at that time, I was so anxious, or I was so eager. Wow, I wish all my family become a vegetarian. Because I was in a college life at the time. But anyway, so I said that to this group Sunday, I said, actually, in terms of human documentation, the earliest record we have is actually in the Bible. And I said, Genesis chapter 1, where according to the Bible, God created humanity, and then first diet that they gave to Adam and Eve was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. And then I didn't say much about other things. And at the end of their meeting, actually during the meeting, they usually eat with a good vegan dishes. They all bring their own and then share together, like our church potluck. I'm sorry, we don't have potluck today because you're a special guest, but maybe next time, Lorraine. Anyway, it's like our church potluck things. So I encourage all of you to join there and mingle with them and share, different things. It's a very interesting outreach or enrich program. But at the end, when they're leaving, I was leaving also, one of the persons said to me, today I will go home and read the Bible to find it out. Wow, I didn't expect that. And I think these are kind of part of the activity we can see we can put the seed on their minds to raise the interest to find out what's going on. Yeah. And as we... most of you know about the Bible, but there are a lot of new faces here. So even though you understand, bear with me, but hopefully you can understand more about those public biblical statements also. As we know, there are two times that are written in the Bible, the word says, good for food. Good for food. Today, Matthew read the scripture, And that was one of them. Here, Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Out of the ground, Jehovah God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight. And then what? Good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now here we see that the word good for food, and this is what this is the statement that who said? It was God who said that. But the next time we can see the same words, good for food, which is the last one, I mean, we have only two expressions there in the Bible, is Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw the tree was what? Good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree of desirable to make one wise. So she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave it to her husband with her and ate. And then you know what was the consequence, right? The consequence is all the suffering, all the disorderness, killing, all these things happening even to our days. And it probably getting worse and worse until Christ come back again. Now, here, if you read these two Bible, alongside, one is when God said, every tree, not just one tree. A lot of time we think, oh, it's a tree of life is good for food. No. Bible says every tree is good for food. But over on the other side, Genesis chapter 3, 6, it was tree of knowledge and good and evil. That was when woman saw that the tree was good for food. So the human history after creation, and we don't know how long after creation these events happen, there's a battle. The battle is what? Who is the one who defines something? It is God who defines? No, it is human who defines things. Define. Yeah. As we see, even in our society, our generation, who defines what? It is the one person decide, or is a group of people decide? In the group, is there a minority or majority decide? Then it goes through that as a fact or as a truth? Or the definition has to come from somebody above us? For instance, who can define the life? It is only the life giver. Who can define our gender? Male or female? It is only God's creation. Therefore, who can define what is really the food? The food that need to sustain life. It is not the human when they look at this, oh, this is good for food. No. If they define that according to Bible, as a result, the food become a poison to kill our life. That's why even if we eat every day, at the end is what? We are death. Why? We eat a lot of poison ourselves. So think about, whenever we think about the food, there are food that human defines, and there are food that God defines. And here, very interesting, that every tree on the left side here, Genesis chapter 2, 9, it was pleasant to what? Pleasant to sight. But in the Genesis chapter 3, 6, it was what? Pleasant to the eyes. Those two are different English words, right? Sight and eyes. Same goes with the Hebrew original words. Even though I'm not Hebrew scholar, at least you can check it out. It's two different words. What are the difference between the sight and eye? Eye is really nothing but a anatomical structure where you have a, you know, your cornea, lens, and different things there, and optic nerve and all these things. So when this woman, the Eve, when she saw this tree, she thought it's pleasant to the eye, whereas God says every tree is pleasant to the sight. What is the difference between eyes and sight? Sight is different from eyes, even though it needs eyes, but the sight means it needs to be connected with the brain. In other words, not just connection, but also it has to interpret. Whenever you have a, just because you have an eye, doesn't mean you have a sight. So the way God sees us is different from the way we see. That is the main thing we have to understand. And also, another complication is the pleasant. The word pleasant are in both sides, but actually different Hebrew words. And I was trying to study that, but it's a little bit too much complication now, so I don't think I'm going to continue with that. Anyway, in this situation, we know how humanity defiled and fell because of the events that happened here. Now, as we know, originally Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, which I mentioned earlier when I shared with those vegan group, God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields the seed, which is on the face of all earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seeds, to you it shall be for food." So original God's plan was what? Herb and fruit. Now, here herb is a different connotation than we understand as herb. We understand herb is what? It's not pharmaceutical drug. It is a natural things that use specially when we are sick or we want to prevent some disease type of thing. So there's an herbalist who knows about this. You know, last Sabbath, even we stayed here until 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, we are learning a lot of these things from Dr. Cross. He's amazing. He has amazing knowledge about that, and I appreciate that. But in the beginning, when the Hebrew word says herb, herb means it's a vegetable. It's a vegetable. That's what it means. Except, the word except was a vegetable. Then what is the difference between herb? What is the definition of the herb? If you read the dictionary, it says any seed-bearing plant. Any seed-bearing plant that do not have or does not have a woody stem. In other words, any plant that doesn't show any wood, kind of woody stem, that we call, according to the Bible, it's all herb. So herb means all green grass and those things. And so that is one thing that God gave to us, that humanity, to eat. And then the next one is fruit. Fruit, pere in Hebrew words. That is a fruit that we all know, the fruit. Now, if that is the case, there's another, like a vegetarian or vegan concept. There's one thing that is kind of missing there, and which is actually not in this particular scripture, but that is in the Psalm 104, verse 14. It says, God causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man. Here, the vegetation actually is herb, the same Hebrew words, but here it says a vegetation in the New King James Version. But if original King James Version, it says herb, the same Hebrew word. So that is, we understand. And then it says that he may bring forth the next word, food. Food from the earth. This food is actually lechem, the Hebrew words. It's actually grain. In other words, it makes a bread. So it's a little bit different kinds than pere and eseh. So basically, you know, we have this type of system that God originally decided to put in our body, because it is God who built our body and he knows our system. So this is where you know, God wanted for us to eat. And so as we know, however, that ideal plan that God originally had has been derailed because of the Adam and Eve. They chose a different voice, the voice of darkness, the voice of death, instead of the voice of life and happiness. So ultimately, there's such a rapid deterioration of the humanity in terms of their life, and there was a flood. And after the flood, Genesis chapter 9, verse 3 and 4, says, every moving things that lives, shall be food for you. And I've given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, which is blood. So this is a sort of temporary plan that God had, because there is no vegetation from this flood globally. And God gave this food, but God didn't say it'd be good for food, just the food. But he also allowed, so he allowed that you can eat the animals. You can kill the animals, eat animals. But he recommended, do not eat the flesh with the blood. So it is challenged that how people can eat the flesh without the blood. And only the very strict, I think, Jewish people, they will actually strangle the you know, animal and drop all the blood and then try to eat. But it's not a complete, you know, eradication of the blood from the body. But anyway, so this is where there was a change. And so eating the flesh now become a majority of the habits or custom and manners and lifestyle of humanity. Do you know in America how many people are actually vegetarian? How many percentage? I shared the last Sunday. 6%. How about the vegan? Only 3%. So vegetarian or vegans are still kind of minority in a way. Now, we all know that Leviticus, God gave a specific instruction of the animal consumptions and what kind of food you can eat, what kind of food you probably don't, you better not eat because of your own health. And so we know the clean animal and unclean animal, those separation, very detailed instruction in the book of Leviticus chapter 11. But remember, when you read that, you have to read the from back to the front, because at the end, why God gave that kind of instruction? That's what he says here. For I am Jehovah who brings you up out of the land of Egypt, and then what? To be your God, and you shall therefore, what? Be holy, for God is holy. So as we studied in my lecture before, Bible, there's no other important subjects in the Bible that has been telling except what? What we do is what? Is the? What we do is the result of what we are. Why we are doing different things? Because we before we do anything, we become somebody who do those things. That's a human basic idea. Why you do the gangs, activity, killing, stealing, and selling drugs and all these things? Because they became gang. That's why if you became gang, doing those things is very natural. If you don't do that, then you'll be uncomfortable because you already be called into the gang. Whereas we as a Christians, why are we trying to live a life, holy life? We cannot forcefully myself to live holy life at all unless we truly become a truly loving Christians. So remember, what we do is the result of what we are. Therefore, here, Leviticus chapter 11, there are so many different instructions, clean and unclean animal, things like that. But because as God is holy, He made us holy through the gospel story, then we are doing holy things. And that's why Bible says if you know God, then you know, if you know God, you love God. As we study more about the life of Jesus Christ and we meditate about his words, then we continue to love more of him, more him, and then we naturally are doing what Christ wants us to do. It's not a forceful coercion. And so whenever we have in our daily lives, there's something that I know I have to do, but I don't have any willingness to do, then we have to go back to the basic, go back to the beginning, which is cross, where we start again. That's why we need to have a daily conversion, daily giving our life, surrender to Jesus Christ on a daily basis from the beginning of the morning. Because as we heard many times, it is in Christ we are new creation. The new means what? Yesterday is not new. Today is new. Okay? So whatever happened in the past, important, but it doesn't count my status today. And therefore, remember, biblical concept is because we are holy, therefore we are doing holy things, which is a very natural way. If, as Jesus said, if the tree is a thistle, it cannot produce grapes. You have to, in order to produce a grape, you have to become from thistle plant to the grape tree. So you need to transplant that. Now, remember, what we do is the result of what we are. There are several biblical ideas where if you share with your faith with other people, other non-Adventist groups, they will say, how come you eat the way you eat? And that is not biblical, they will say. And one of the thing is like here, Acts chapter 10, verse 15, it says, a voice spoke to him, to this him is Peter, again, second time, what God has cleaned, you must not call common. It means unclean. So you eat the all the various kinds of the animals, crawling animals that are coming from the big basket, I mean, big, what do you call, cloth, and then coming down from in front of Peter, and God says, you eat that. And Peter says, no, I never eat those since I was born. And second time, doing like that, God says, what God cleaned, and you should eat. I cannot eat it. And many Christians think, oh, so even though it was unclean, but now God cleaned it, so we can eat it. That kind of understanding of the Bible is not really true in the context of this Bible. As we know, this is not talking about food, it's talking about human life, the Gentiles. Gentile is outside Jewish people. So we are all Gentile. Yes. God says, I will clean you. I will make you holy because I'm holy. But Jewish people, especially the disciples, they didn't understand that. But through this visionary experience, Peter was able to understand, and he was one of the disciples for the Gentile also, with Peter. Another interesting, very challenging statement is here. Jesus said to them, are you thus without understanding also? And you do not perceive whatever enters a man from outside that cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and it's eliminated, thus purifying all food. Now here, people are saying, well, so Jesus purified everything, so we can eat anything. And there's no clean or unclean. There's no just a plant-based, but eat the animal, things like that. But remember, who can make a definition of the food? It is God. And God never changed his definition. And therefore, when we say here, purify all food, we think all food means everything. No, that's our human concept inherited by the idea of the Eve when she says, oh, it's good for food, even though God says that is not food. So don't ever put my idea into understanding of this word all food. We have to understand what this food means. It's coming from original definition of the food. There are several of these we don't have much time to go through, but and therefore, this Romans chapter 14 has a lot of statement that can sometimes mislead us into the idea that, oh, everything is okay because it's all purified. But remember, this chapter, Romans chapter 14 is actually, the whole chapter, if you study, it actually talking about don't judge other people. Don't judge your brother. Don't put any stumbling block to your brother, whatever he eats. And especially the food that has been dedicated to the idol worship. But anyway, in the midst of that discussion, Paul was telling here, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we don't really argue or discuss and fight or any argument, no. In terms of the eating and and drinking? Because Bible says we don't need to worry about those. Our main concern is Holy Spirit coming to me. And He will show the righteousness. He will show the peace. He will show the source of the joy. That's what we have to strive every day. So when people are so detailed about what should eat and all these things, become very, in many sense, narrow-minded. But overall, gospel is, it has nothing much to do with eating and drinking, but the other, those real greenish stuff you have to eat, righteousness and peace and joy. Why? Because, as the Bible says, you all know, today, children's story. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you know, you don't know that you are what? Temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if anyone defiles the temple of God, what? God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So here also same thing going. Is God's temple is holy, so you do holy things if God's temple is in you. But here, interesting, as I point in many instances in the past, the word defile, what is defile? What is definition of defile? No, yeah, that is good. But the defile definition is the next one. What is the other words with the red color? Destroy. It's the same words. In Greek words, the same words. So we can say, if anyone destroyed the temple of God, which is body, our body, then God will what? Defile him, or God will destroy him. In other words, God's judgment is not, he just come and looking for you, and if you're going a little bit off and he just come and destroy you, no. God just let you go through. And I mean, couple's lecture before, we talk about this wheat and what?
Tares.
And the anxious disciple says, oh, I'm going to go, we just rooted out this tares. And Jesus says, no. Just wait. You're too fast. Wait until harvest time. So it is God's mercy that he let us to live our life according to my choice. So our choice can be path to the death or path to the life, eternal life. And God just watching them, but he is wooing through the Holy Spirit. Why don't you change your life this direction? Many different occasions of different instances that they can what? They can convince, yeah, God is calling. You know, we don't know how many times, I mean, God gave me that signs and I refused, and finally coming back. And I don't know how many times God worked in your life too. So I think in Adam, it is so amazing in my mind. I mean, Adam, how long he lived? 930 years. I think it took such a long time for Adam truly convinced. If somebody, you know, you say, oh, that person's such a good Christian. He died 25 years with a cancer. Oh, maybe he had a sin in his life. Don't ever say like that. Because it is God's mercy and his omnipotent knowledge that that is the best time for him to die. Because he was ready by that time. Just like we are still living here means what? God still has work for us. Now, so if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will defile them. In other words, whatever they did, ultimately, God just let it happen that way. That's a kind of destruction. So look at this human society. Don't you agree with me that we all, humanity, is digging up their own destiny and ready to jump into that tomb? And then when God comes, he said, he comes to see the dead and the living. God just come, and who is tear? Who is wheat? He just separate. and then burn up those wheat, I mean those tares. That's final destruction of God's mercy in a way. Well, that is another story, but let's continue what we are talking about here. Now, this is an article that I came across. The world's first animal was what? Probably carnivore. What is carnivore?
Carnivore.
Eat meat. Eat meat, right? Do you agree with that?
No.
How come? And when I read this interesting statement in that article I found, the ancestor of all animals, what, was most likely a carnivore, according to the new study that examined animals' diet dating back 800 million years. How can you can date back 800 million years of food that some animal ate? This is a wow. Animal diets come in and go out. But in the same article, as I read it through, the next one is so interesting. This finding contradicts prior studies based on the fossil data, which suggest that early animals were probably what? What is herbivores? Yeah, plant-based diets. This is in the Science article. Now, how we can be sure that the original, I mean, one of the thing here, the other thing is, he says, the ancestor of all animals. In other words, there's a ancestor and where all the animals came up. But Bible says what? Each kind. God created each kind of animals, right? It's totally different ideas. Now, however, human. Did God create the human with different kinds or the ancestor was existing? You don't know? Adam is the ancestor of human life. A different way that God created all the other animals. No wonder these days evolutionary ideas is, oh, there was different continents. There was a different evolution of the humanities from different, you know, monkeys and all these things. But Bible is rather contradictory with that. There's one ancestor, Adam, but there are many different ancestors of all the animals. Now, Bible says like this, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and 15, therefore, just as though, how many men? One man, sin entered the world. And then what? Death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, and because all sin. However, the free gift is not like the offense, of the Adam's disobedience, right? Much more grace of God, and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So there, Bible illustrates two men. One is Adam, the other one is Jesus Christ. Therefore, Bible says in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Jesus is called what? Not second Adam, but the last Adam. You know, I've heard several very famous preachers, even Adventist churches, and they say, oh, Jesus was a second Adam. Well, apparently spirit prophecies mention about that. But biblically speaking, Jesus has to be the last Adam. Therefore, why? Because either you have a death or you have life. And Jesus is what?
Life.
There's no other. If Jesus is second Adam, there would be third Adam, fourth Adam. Is it Buddha or Muhammad become third, fourth? No. No, that is not biblical concept. It is a one source of life from God to Jesus on all the way, or God from Adam and all the way. Therefore, Bible says in the 1 Corinthians, you know the scripture, in Adam, what? All are dead. All are dead. But what? In Christ, the last Adam, the in Christ, all are made alive. So biblical, concept, the gospel concept it doesn't, I mean, it is important. I mean, you be a good man or you help others. Those are important, but those are what? Those are what we do because we are Christian. But the main message is, Bible says, you live. I mean, I preached that in the couple, month ago. Bible message is either there's a death or there's a life, and you choose life. Well, actually, do we have two choices, life and death? No. We are already in Adam. We are already dead. So we don't have to even choose death. That's automatic. Only choice we have really in this life is what? To live. Yeah, accept Jesus Christ. That's the only choice we have. There's nothing else. Yeah, there's nothing else. Here is actually telling about that. So, death came after Adam and his disappointment. Actually, it looked like it's Eve. Eve was the one who took it and gave it to Adam. But what the Bible says, it is Adam's responsibility. Why? Because Adam was the ancestor of humanity, not Eve. Eve was what? Her life was from Adam. Therefore, I had one of my patients, she was an activist, and we had a good talk, and I said, husband, I think you probably heard the sermon with Dr. Vine. Title is, what? The Silent Man. The Silent Man. In other words, men should be shameful that they are quiet whenever they have to stand up. Men are like a feminist. They just avoid any confrontation. And that's what this society's problems. Men are not doing their job. The men in the family, they call husband, right? And you know, the husband means what? Band around the house. Band. If that band is destroyed, broken, all the family go different directions. Therefore, here we have many people who are husband, including myself. We have to do our best way. Now, so because of the death, animal also dying. So remember, who experienced the first death? The first death is either man or animal. How you say that? It's the first sacrifice that probably Abel gave, and then Abel died, right, afterwards. Yeah. But anyway, we Bible students believe that there was what? Original animals, they are all what? They're all herbivore or carnivore?
Herbivore.
They're all herbivore, yes. But there is Bible talk about, eating and drinking, those are not, there is another food you have to really pursue, which is here. That Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat flesh of Son of Man and drink his blood, you have what? You have no life in you. You have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day, resurrection, right? And for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I'm abiding in him. So, do you actually eat the flesh and the wine of flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ every day? Yes. Otherwise, Bible says we don't have a life in us. Now, we are having, I think, the way I understand, we have a Lord's Supper next Sabbath, right? Lord's Supper. In 2 weeks? In 2 weeks, yes. Wow. I have a friend who is Lutheran, so I'm just telling that. In the Bible, he was asking me about that, I think. How the Catholic Church is divided from the rest of the Christendom? Because their belief is transubstantiation. It's a long words, but transubstantiation means that out of this scripture, they are saying whenever they consecrate their Eucharist, the bread, and when they pray, the Eucharist become a real, real body of Jesus Christ. So what if you drop that just mistakenly? Or what if you spill the cup? It's big. It's really big deal for them. Do you believe that transubstantiations, and which was the topic in Christendom, a lot of discussion, but the Catholic Church, they decided that is their dogma in 1215 AD at the Fourth Lateran Council. Because they said the substance of bread and wine, actually it changed. That's why it changed into real body of Jesus Christ, and that's why they say transubstantiation, transubstantiation. It's a long word. However, Luther, he's head of Lutheran Church, right? They believe a different way. They believe consubstantiations. In other words, C-O-N. What it means, they believe that Christ's body and blood are really present with bread and wine. But not only with the bread and wine, but also in the bread and wine and under the bread of wine. So there is a coexistence, and they said there's no change of substance itself, but somehow Christ's presence with his body and blood. But Zwingli, who is a contemporary of Luther, and said, no, we don't accept all this. We believe these are statements of the memorial tokens. In other words, we commemorate the death of Jesus Christ until he comes. That's what the Bible says. So we don't believe something that will turn into the blood and the flesh of Jesus Christ that they eat. If you believe that, it's great that, wow, Christ's body is in me here. So you can continue your life. What an assurance. But I think it's not a biblical basis. Yeah. And we can talk a lot more these things, but it's a little bit out of line. But out of line of my topic. But anyway, these are important things we Bible talks about. Don't much argument about what to eat and drink, but you have to have a peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit. But in terms of this flesh food, that is not important as far as spiritual food that we are talking about here. And here in Isaiah chapter 11, interesting statement: the wolf dwell with the lamb, a leopard shall lie down with a young goat, and calf and lion together, faultlings, and the cow and bear shall graze. I mean, bear graze? Becoming what? Yeah, becoming an original state, right? And then lion shall eat what? Straw like an ox. Yeah, these are all what? The new heaven and new earth we're talking about. Going back to original God's plan. Original God's plan. Now, what is the best way to prove that actually the vegan diet is superior than meat-eating diets? Is there any laboratory we can conduct? Okay. Well, these are all good words, but let me share with you my thoughts. If you look at this article, vegan celebrates in 2025. There are about 70 stars share why they went vegan or vegan food and living lifestyle. And to be honest with you, these are all names I don't know much because I don't really look at those type of entertainment. So initially I was trying to have their picture in the slides, but some of have such a strange cloth, things like that. And so it's not the worth for us to, but at least you know the names. It's 70 of them. I only had a couple of them here. But this celebrates, they all say, we like vegetarian, vegan, and we support the animal protection, and we feel better and all these things. Is that really a individual proof? But it is not really a better proof than I'm going to share the next one. The next one is here. 20 vegan athletes you didn't know ate the plant-based diets. These are the athletes. So whatever they perform is their test. Not just alone, but what? With multiple other competitors of the athletes. You know, when I become a vegetarian, my family concerned, I was playing sports in college level, and they said, no, you're not going to have any strength, you don't have any protein muscles, and you're not going to compete. This is a very common ideas that we all have. But these are some vegan athletes. I don't know, you know the names? You don't know anybody? Well, good for you. But actually here, if we have time, I'm going to read some of this interesting. Let me read one. Is this Scott Jurek. Scott Jurek. Do you know who he is?
No.
Wow. He's an ultra runner. And he actually ran a Appalachian Trail with a record setting 46 days and 8 hours and 7 minutes. This Appalachian Trail is 2,190 miles.
Nice.
So if you divide by 46 days, every day about 47 miles.
Wow.
And then he also won the championship in the Badwater Ultra Marathon, which is 135 miles, twice he had the championship.
Wow.
You know, this Badwater Ultra Marathon, do you know where it held? It's the lowest point of America. Where is that?
Death Valley,
which is 120 feet down from the sea level. And from there, going up to the Mount Whitney.
Wow.
Mount Whitney, which is 8,360 feet. And he started with the night and just run that. And he got what? He got two times world toughest foot race.
Wow.
Not only that, he also win the 153 miles long Spartathlon in Greece three consecutive times. And he said, a lot of people assume that once one needs to eat animal products to gain a lot of muscle mass and even for the power sports. But he says, that's definitely been proved false time and time again. I don't know what time it's, I just started one, but there are several of these. And a lot of athletes says, after they become vegan, their inflammation is down. You know, who is the worst kinds of that kind of problem somebody had? You know, the tennis player, the two sister.
Venus.
Yeah, Venus. She actually diagnosed with a Sjögren syndrome. That is autoimmune disease. You know, your body attack your part of body, especially joints. And because of that illness, she decided not to go through conventional medicine where they give a methotrexate, like anti-cancer medicine, things like that. No, I'm not going to do that. So she decided to become vegan. And her testimony, I mean, think of a testimony. When we have a testimony here, and Jesus is my Lord, who is going to deny that? This athlete said, yes, after I practice vegan, my inflammatory joint problem is gone. And she actually healed her Sjögren's disease.
Wow.
If that is a real fact, I think all the American Medical Association, especially the rheumatologists, they look at that and study and find out the secret, no longer secret, that you know, a lot of people are suffering from this joint problem. I don't know, some of you, I don't know whether you're going through that. And then this lady, Tia Blanco, she's a first surfer to win back-to-back gold medal post in 1996 at the World Surfing Championship at age 19. And she had her purely plant-based diets. And she said, after doing her research, she chose to go vegan. I really admire her because she didn't just accept. No, she studied and researched, and she decided to go that way. And she actually explaining her improvement of her stamina and strength so that she can be able to accomplish that. So these are not the people who like celebrates, oh, yeah, I'm vegan now, in like another fashion. You change your clothes, whatever. I don't know. I mean, I'm not downgrade their intention, but you cannot prove that. But these sportsmen are proving that the vegan diet is the one that actually gives you more strength, less inflammations, and less other disease, and they're able to keep record. And so what else you can prove? There's nothing. Here, one lady, Ellen Morgan, said, I'm passionate about giving animals a voice. I adopted a vegan diet because it didn't feel fair to have a dog I adore and yet eat meat all the time. Yeah, I mean, it's good. But I'm thinking, well, if this lady is able to give an animal a voice, let us give God a voice. A voice of original, his plan of Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 is a true, true diet that we need. Nobody's gonna, in new heaven and earth, look around, pray to kill and eat. We better practice while we are here. Yeah, this is another person that I'm gonna. Yeah, maybe one last one. It's Patrick Bobomanian. He's the Patrick, the right top. He is the strongest man in Europe, German. He first ever vegan to accomplish the championship in in, you know, lifting. His power lift. And this is the message to all those out there, all those out there who thinks that you need animal products to be fit and strong. That is not true here. You only eat the dead food, not the living food. Yeah. Now, some people talk about Ezekiel food and brown rice, and there are a lot of interesting things. I mean, a lot of times they say inflammation was down, and okay. This is another one. It's not only your physical strength, but also what? Your mental intelligence. All these people. Now, the last bottom lower, Cesar Chavez, do you know who he is? Yeah, we have a Cesar Chavez road here in around our church. Yeah, he's an activist. He's activist like a labor movement, and he's a staunch vegan movement leaders, like Ellen White, like left side bottom Elias Warham. He was a Adventist thoracic surgeon. He practiced his medicine, surgical, at age up until age 95. Yes. What a stamina. What intelligence he kept. You know, thoracic surgeon, you cannot just, dozing off during the operation because they opened the chest wall, okay? Yeah. Anyway, there are a lot of things, but I'm sorry. In other words, it's just like an example of the Daniel in the Babylonian kingdom. We all know that, right? Well, this is something. Yeah, this is, I can take some time to talk about this Dr. Malcolm, why Christians get sick. And the one concern is vitamin B12. We heard that, vitamin B12 has to be come from the animal source. But that is not proven. Animals, they don't create vitamin B12. It's all coming from a special bacteria that is coexisting with the plant at the root level, down in the ground. And this is vitamin B12 is the most complicated structure of the amongst the vitamin. Therefore, this research is so complicated. There are about four different scientists who got the Nobel Prize just studying this. And recently, the MIT biologist solved some of the problems. But anyway, what I'm saying is, at bottom line, don't worry about vitamin B12, because when I check my vitamin B12, it's normal. Okay? So anyway, my appeal to you is this. The proof of pudding is the eating, and you need to really try that. Now, especially we know there's another food that has to be tried, which is the food that Jesus Christ is giving to us, his life. In other words, his body and his flesh, his everything he has, he's giving to us. So we have an eternal life here. Well, I don't force anybody to become vegan. But I have my small proof in my life that when I become vegan, I had a better life and healthful life. And I praise God for that. And I want you to become not only Christian, but also Adventist Christian, and above all, a vegan Adventist Christian. That's my prayer to you. Thank you very much. Our Father in heaven, as we depart each other and this church, facing our reality for the next 7 days, please be with us and give us your strength and hope. in Jesus Christ, so we can be a true light and salt in this world. Continue to bless each and every one of us, because we ask all these things in the name of our Lord. Amen.